Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ing's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time by setting the intention with Naturally 7 and let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you. And I pray that our lives for the better, stay in tune with the Lord God you. Lord, I pray that these words we are singing will bring joy and happiness to the world. And I pray that this message will bring that the hearts will be open to thee. And I pray for the absent and those who've not heard.
All my clothes with
to applaud you for taking 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously come into communion to connect with the ground of our being, God in us as us. Today I'm coming to you live from Gosport. So bear with me as things will be slightly different as I don't quite have the same technical setup as I do at home. But we continue with the 12 things that God cannot do. And today we're looking at the 8th thing that God cannot do, which is God cannot despise a broken and contrite heart. In order to elaborate on that, I thought I would try and share with you a slightly deeper and metaphysical interpretation of the story of the prodigal son, which everyone I'm sure is familiar with. We know that the prodigal son was the younger of two sons that wanted to try out what was going on in the world and wanted his inheritance so that he could utilize that and go and see things for himself. So when we talk about he wanted to leave the father's house, let's take that to mean on a deeper level that center of our being where we know that we are one with God, where we know without a shadow of a doubt that God is in us, that we are living, moving, and having our being from that awareness that God is the source of our life, is the source for our every need, is the source of our healing. That we know, like Jesus knew, it is the Father within me that doeth the work. When we are operating from that place of awareness of our Father's house is right where we are, we have a level of faith and trust that we can say to the storms in our lives, peace, be still. We can say to the sickness, to the pain, to the dis-ease, that I am made in the image and likeness of health, wholeness, and perfect and right expression. You see, the younger son represents that immature side of us, that side that hasn't quite developed in that awareness, in that consciousness, in that knowing. He wants to experience life, at times reckless in his choices. But like in the story, the father gives him what he wants so that he can go and experience for himself life away from the father's house. As I have said many a time, the greatest gift God gave us is free will and freedom to choose for ourselves what we want. And even if what we choose may not be in alignment with our highest good, God will never interfere or intercede or contradict that blessing, that gift of freedom to choose that he has given us. So as in the story of the prodigal son, we know that he goes off, he blows his inheritance, he squanders it, and he ends up squatting in a barn next to some pigs, which, you know, for in the Jewish faith, the pigs are so unclean. So that's where he has ended up, at rock bottom. But he comes to the awareness, even in his immaturity and in his recklessness, he comes back to the remembrance that even those that are of a lower stature in his father's house has more than what he has now, which is zilch. And so he comes to himself and he says, I will return to my father and beg forgiveness and ask that he treats me like one of his servants. Here we see what a contrite heart looks like. The recognition that we have made a mistake, that we have been foolish, that we can't live our life without God's peace, God's direction, God's guidance, God's love, God's blessing. And we know from that story that whilst he is still on his way, word reaches the father, and the father starts to get excited and tells his servants to prepare the fat calf so that they can feast and enjoy because his son has returned or is in the process of returning. You see, God is forever waiting for us to return back to our true nature, our true self, our God self. And even in the process, God is excited that we have come to our senses. God is always waiting for us to make the effort. The psalmist says that if we draw nigh unto God, God will already draw nigh unto us. But then we see in the story the elder son that stayed behind, that worked, that was conscientious, is a tad miffed that he hasn't gone or left the father high and dry and has been there all the time, diligently working. That symbolizes that part of our nature that doesn't want to risk, that doesn't want to experiment with life, that wants safe, that's very cautious in its judgment, but then equally it has that righteous indignation when it feels wrong. We can all identify with the three aspects of this story, I'm sure. And this for me is a great example of what a contrite heart looks like. When you recognize your mistakes, when you realize you cannot do without God, there is the eighth thing God cannot do. God will never ignore you. God will never despise you. God will never say, serve you right. You made your bed, lie on it. You know that that is a human feeling and response. So to continue, I want to share with you our sacred text. Because here again, this speaks to that God cannot despise a contrite heart. I want to share the text first, and then I'm going to give a little backdrop to the story. This is from Psalm 51, verses 1 to 12. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean and pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. So David wrote this as a plea to God. Because remember, David was the shepherd boy who killed Goliath, went through various trials and tribulations to become the king of Israel. He had everything that he could want. And then one day, he sees Bathsheba bathing and lusts after her and sends for her and sleeps with her. Even though she's married, even though he has wives. And so he plots and brings her husband back from the battlefield, wines and dines him, gets him drunk, and then says, go home and sleep with your wife. Except the husband was too noble and slept in the servants' quarters. When the King David found out that he hadn't gone, which was his ruse to cover up what he had done, he wined and dined him a further 2 nights, and still the husband refused, saying, how can I go home and sleep in a warm bed with my wife when my soldiers are sleeping on the ground in the mud in the battlefield? So what does David do? He decides to send him to the front line where he is sure that the deepest and the fighting is the most fierce, so that he would be killed, which of course happens. And then once he is dead, he sends Bathsheba and marries her. And then the prophet comes to him and tells him of a story whereby there was a rich man who had many things, many sheep, many cattle, and a poor man who had only one sheep that he loved and cherished. And one day a traveler came, and instead of the rich man killing one of his sheep, sent for the poor man's one sheep and killed it and offered it to the traveler. When David heard this, he got really angry and annoyed and said, I will kill that man. How dare he do that? And the prophet turns on and said, that one man is you. You took the wife of another. And so David writes this psalm. with a contrite heart, with a repentant heart, with a heart that recognizes its mistake, asking God to clean and cleanse and put a new and right spirit within him. And that's one of my favorite lines, and I use often when I'm in the shower, to cleanse me so that I might be clean, and purify me so that I might have a good heart. And so, my beloveds, when we look at this eighth thing that God cannot do, God cannot despise someone when they have recognized their shortcomings, their mistakes, have sought him to deliver, to guide, to direct them. My other sacred text that I want to share was Isaiah 57:15. I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Psalm 51:17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, these, God, you will not despise. And Psalm 102:17, he shall regard the prayer of the destitute and shall not despise their prayer. One of the things that I felt very strongly about as I contemplated and reflected on this, that God doesn't need our arrogance. God needs our humbleness, our humility, our recognition as our teacher and way shower demonstrated, and that it is always to go within and seek the Father, to seek the kingdom of God first, so that all things may be added unto us. God will never stop us from allowing our egoic nature to direct, to lead or mislead us. But God will always be waiting upon us to come to ourselves, to come back to the remembrance of who we are and whose we are. My short story today is from Isabella Campolattaro. She writes first with the scripture, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful in teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. She says, I bought a plastic storage bench with some assembly required. My older son, Pierce, is 14 and I'm always looking for him to learn new skills. I briefly reviewed the instructions with him and a buddy and gave them the necessary tools and stepped away, hoping they would sort it out as part of their learning process. Not too far into it, I heard a rumph and G-rated expletive. Mom, this thing is broken. We have to send it back. I smiled. I remembered I'd read in the instructions, before you send this back, please call us. I put together many pieces of furniture, so I knew this was probably a case of user error. I read the directions out loud, and the three of us carefully walked through the steps together. They'd missed one. In a few minutes, the problem was solved. Moments later, they ran into another issue, but this time, I heard them talk through it. How often have I built my life in this way? I hit a roadblock, throw my hands up in despair, and I'm ready to give up before asking the sacred for help. How often have I failed to review my Bible, the ultimate instruction manual, to determine where I'd gone wrong or what to do next? Today, that plastic bench sits on my patio as a reminder that the perfect handyman Jesus is standing by to help me assemble a life that works. After all, he was a carpenter. We need a contrite heart, a heart that is not arrogant, or full of itself, as we continue to seek God first to guide and direct our lives. My poem is entitled The Contrite Heart by William Cowper. This was written in the 19th century, so the English is of that period. The Lord will have happiness divine on contrite hearts bestow. Then tell me, gracious God, is mine a contrite heart or no? I hear, but seem to hear in vain. Insensible, I feel. If aught is felt, 'tis only pain to find I cannot feel. I sometimes think myself inclined to love thee if I could, but often feel another mind averse to all that's good. My best desires are faint and few. I fain would strive for more, but when I cry, my strength renew, seem weaker than before. Thy saints are comforted, I know, and love thy house of prayer. I therefore go where others go, but find no comfort there. Oh, make this heart rejoice or ache, decide this doubt for me, and if be not broken, break, and heal it if it be. My science of mind reading is entitled Live a Courageous Life. The first quote is from Mary Tyler Moore. Take chances, make mistakes, that's how you grow. Pain nourishes your courage. You have to fail in order to practice being brave. Our second quote from Ernest Holmes. We can be certain that there is an intelligence in the universe to which we may come that will guide and inspire us, a love which overshadows. The author writes, we all have the seeds of greatness within us. Some seem to find their greatness early in life, others later. I worked with someone who knew one of our ministers as a young person. She said, even way back then, you could see he was someone special. Some are pushed into greatness because of circumstances. We don't get it from outside ourselves. We uncover what's always been there. Recently, I read a story about a man who taught self-defense classes for women. A woman in his class told him this story. 8 years before, her husband beat her so severely that she lost their unborn child. She divorced him and over the years was unable to get pregnant again. A month after taking his class, she got pregnant. She said, my body knew it was finally safe. He bowed to her because of the lesson in courage and transformation she gave him. We need to learn from the past and move on. If we are stuck in the past, we need to get unstuck. That may not be easy, but no matter what the struggle, happiness can be ours. David Hawkins says, courage implies a willingness to try new things and to deal with the changes and challenges of life. Courage means facing our fears and growing from them. If you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our reflective meditation. Always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, it is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life. So as we take the next 3 deep breaths in, let us be conscious that we are breathing in the breath of life itself. Inhale. Lower the diaphragm. Extend the stomach. And breathe in the life-giving, energizing breath of God. Now affirm for yourself. Today, everything in my experience is made new. Today, I expect and accept only good. God lives in me and enlarges my life. This life within me, being God, did not begin and it cannot end. Hence, I am immortal and eternal. I can never be less, but must forever be more myself, as this life within me unfolds through my experience, through my gathering of knowledge and accumulation of wisdom. I recognize the omnipresent good. I acknowledge it. I prosper in all my affairs. Perfect success is mine. All the mistakes I have ever made are wiped out. And today, the business of living is the activity of God within me, giving I receive, and receiving I give out again, thus increasing the divine bounty that meets me at every turn. God within me creates every circumstance and situation I have ever experienced. They are the fruits of my thought. By my right thinking and right use of this law of liberty, I allow my imagination to enlarge my experience. The life principle within me responds with a greater abundance, harmony, and good flowing to me. Like a horizon where the earth and sky appear to meet, this apparent end continually opens up a wider expanse to me. This is my concept of God, the unlimited creator of all experience. God lives in me and enlarges my life. Take a deep breath in as you allow that beautiful reflective affirmation to resonate within your being. Now, as we enter into our circle of prayer, you are invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. We know that God is the spirit, the energy, the life force that is everywhere present at every point in space and time. There is nowhere where God is not. Mother, Father, God, as we come into this circle of prayer, consciously bringing our attention to the awareness, to the acceptance, to the belief that it is with a contrite heart that we come before you, knowing that you would never despise any time that we come into your presence in this manner. You are a God that has loved us, that wishes to bless us, to uplift us, to guide, and to direct our lives as we so align with you. It is our egoic nature and our arrogance that block this awareness, this alignment, this understanding. So we ask that you create in us a clean heart and put a new and right spirit, awareness and understanding within us, that we truly might be the vessels through which your spirit expresses through as love and peace and joy and acceptance and oneness. Mother, Father, God, you know the need of each and every individual on this call and listening later, as you know the need of each and every sentient being in this world. There is too much that is happening to name or list. But for those that are dealing with natural or man-made disasters, those that are dealing with healing challenges, healing whether it be of health or relationships or finances, you know the need for every part of your creation. We know, as our teacher shared with us, that there is nothing too hard for you to do. If we have faith like a mustard seed, we can say to the mountains in our lives, move, and it shall be so. So as we hold in our hearts our beautiful, loving world, and we hold in our hearts that every need be met, and we hold in our hearts that every government remembers its duty and its service to its people, we are so grateful for all the saints, sages, ascended masters, ancestors, angels, elemental beings that work towards bringing peace and joy and harmony here on earth. For your infinite grace, your endless blessings, we are ever grateful. And so it is. And so it is. So it is. Take a deep breath in. and let us do our movement prayer. Stretch your hands towards the sky, wiggle your fingers, and affirm, I open myself to life all around me. Cross your hands over your heart and affirm, I am one with love and all that love is. Bring your hands as if in prayer in front of your lips and affirm, I speak only words of health and wholeness. Drop your hands to your sides, palms facing outwards, and affirm, I give thanks for all good things flowing to me. Bend your elbows and make small circles with your wrists and affirm, I release and let go. Take a deep breath in as I attempt to unmute the phones for our Buddhist reflections and affirmations. I apologize, I'm unable to unmute the phones. So right where you are, our affirmation for today. In this moment, I step into my power. I know spirit is always with me, and there is no reason to allow fear to control my life. I know I am safe wherever I go, because I am spirit expressing. Our Buddhist reflections and prayer of intention. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I freely forgive them, and I ask forgiveness. If I have hurt or harmed anyone, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed, I forgive the past and close the door. I forgive all, and resentment is dissolved. I forgive myself, and I am at peace. I accept myself, and I am free. May I feel protected and safe, contented and at peace. May my physical body provide me with strength. May my life unfold smoothly and with ease. May I be happy. May I be peaceful. May I be free. May my friends be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May those that challenge me be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. May all beings be happy. May they be peaceful. May they be free. Prayer of intention. I am the light of God, within and without, radiating brightly. I am the love of God, within and without, expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God, within and without, manifesting exuberantly. I am the presence of God, within and without, eternal and unceasing. I am human in expression, divine in creation, and limitless in potentialities. Our rumination, Rumi says, any pain you may feel is a messenger. Listen to it. In my closing benediction, as we continue with our various interpretations of the Lord's Prayer, God, lover of us all, most holy one, help us to respond to you, to create what you want for us here on earth. Give us today enough for our needs. Forgive our weak and deliberate offenses, just as we must forgive others when they hurt us. Help us to resist evil and to do what is good, for we are yours, endowed with your power to make your world whole. So, my beloved, as we come to the end of today's Sunday Soul Connection, again, apologies for not being able to unmute the phone, but we will be back to our regular spot at home next week. So my closing song is entitled A Broken Spirit and a Contrite Heart by Martin J. Nystrom. Enjoy.
A broken spirit. You will not despise, you will not despise, to desire truth in the inward heart, a broken spirit and a contrite heart, a broken
in the inward heart.
Well, my beloveds, I trust you enjoyed that as much as I did. Sorry for the blip. Anyway, have a wonderful week, and as always, peace and blessings.